You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to provide biblical answers to life's most important questions, to read the Bible for all it's worth, and counter the teachings of cults and world religions that deviate from the plumb line of God's Word, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go to our first caller, John. He's listening in Tennessee. Hi, John.
Hello. I have a question, and it concerns vows. When you make a vow to God and you fulfill it, is it wrong to expect an action from Him?
Well, I think, first of all, you have to question the whole practice of making a vow. If you look at the words of the master teacher himself in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "Do not swear at all, either by heaven, because it's God's throne, or by the earth, because it's His footstool. Simply make your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything beyond that comes from the evil one." So the whole practice of making vows is not a normative practice for believers in our epoch of time.
Okay, because I was just curious. You know, I made this vow, though, because I had gotten tired of bad things happening to me, and I needed answers.
Yeah, but, you know, God is not some kind of capricious being that sits in the sky and wants you to come up with the right formula or do the right thing in terms of a practice, and then He's going to reward you. No, what you want to do is recognize that once you have realized you're a sinner, you've repented of your sin and received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life, you have an enduring relationship with Him. Now, what you want to do is develop that relationship, and you develop that relationship through prayer. And so you're communicating with God, not because you want something, but because you want to develop that intimacy with the lover of your soul. I have 12 children. If my children were constantly barraging me with, "Daddy, give me that. Daddy, give," you know, after all, in a short period of time, I start wondering, do I really have a relationship with my children, or is this just kind of a formulaic deal? If you have a relationship, everything flows out of that relationship. I want to do things for my children. I want to give them the best, because I love them, and your Heavenly Father loves you. And as you develop intimacy with Him, you'll find that the things you need, the things you desire, will just be part of the process. It's not a relationship to get things, but things will come out of the overflow of the relationship. So the priority is relationship with the lover of your soul.
Yeah, I pray to Him, fast, read the Bible, meditate on His Word.
Yeah, all of those are spiritual disciplines that you should be embracing, and there out of flow all the things that you need in your life. He is sufficient for every need, and He cares so much about every detail that the Bible tells us that not a hair falls from your head that He doesn't know and care about it.
Okay, well, it's just out of these calamities for untold years now, wondering why.
Well, remember, you shouldn't be asking the why question, because we don't have the answer to that question. What we need to do is not ask the why question, but learn to trust God in the midst of our whys. He's given us enough information about Himself so that we know we can trust in Him. He is utterly trustworthy. You think about Job. If Job made one mistake, it was asking the why question, and God, out of the thunderstorm, says to Job, "You don't even know how I create a tiny drop of dew. How are you going to know what's going on in the heavenlies?" And Job then falls down in repentance because he realizes that God is trustworthy. And he can say, I know my Redeemer lives, and in the end I will stand upon the earth. And we have that same assurance that we're going to be resurrected. So in the midst of our difficulties, we don't look forward to panacea, the time where everything works out perfectly. But what we look forward to is peace in the midst of the storm.
Okay, well, I was just, you know, there's been times when the calamity was coming on, and it was coming on just like in Job. It was unceasing, and I called out to him, and I said, just come down and talk to me.
Well, but see, the mistake is not that you were seeking a relationship with God, but the mistake is thinking that God is not already here. It's not as though Jesus Christ has gone a long ways away. He's available to you right now, spiritually. It is as though there's a veil between you and Jesus Christ. He's in another dimension, but that veil is going to be removed. And when it is removed, then you are going to experience him physically. But in the meantime, continue developing that relationship. Everything will flow from that relationship.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, because I was looking for him for comfort during these time periods, you know. And
well, he will give you comfort. He will give you peace. But it's not a panacea. It's not as though you're going to get rid of the difficulties, but he's going to give you peace in the midst of those difficulties. I want to go back to the phone lines. Next up is Vincent. He's listening in Fort Riley, Kansas. Hi, Vincent.
Yes, hello, Hank. I'm calling because I had a conversation with a friend of mine, and the whole topic of the age of the earth came up, and I kind of got a little confused there as to how to explain it, because the way he put it out was the earth, for instance, biblically, you can kind of tell the age of the earth based on the genealogies, you know, but then if you compare that to what I guess scientists use, which is carbon dating, there's a real big gap between the two. So could you clarify the differences, and even if carbon dating is even solid?
Yeah, well, a couple of things that I would say. First of all, I don't think that you can come up with the age based on genealogies to begin with. There's a wide principle or a big principle here, and that is that the biblical text is not designed to answer the age question, nor are the genealogies complete. They're ingeniously constructed for purposes. And I point this out in various places, including the Creation Answer Book. But secondly, I think the person you're speaking to is absolutely right to say that you can look at general revelation, what I like to call God's book of nature, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. You can look at general revelation and you can get an inkling of age on the basis of that. The age of the universe is measured in billions of years. Why? Because we would say, due to what is popularly referred to as the red shift of the galaxies, the reddish light that marks motion away from the Earth, much like the audible pitch of a train that shifts as it's moving off into the distance. And the red shift that marks galaxies as they move apart at the speed of light allows astronomers to extrapolate backwards billions of years to a point at which the stretching of space began to begin with. But there are many other things you look at. For example, you look at the night sky, you can see a star in infancy, you can see a star that's in midlife, you can see a star that's a white dwarf star, it's burned out its nuclear fusion. And on that basis, depending on how long it takes to burn the fuel, as it were, you can determine how old the star is. And those ages are not measured in thousands of years. They're measured in millions and billions of years. So again, I think we must, as Christians, not only do Scripture well, we need to understand the art and science of biblical interpretation, but we also should do science well. There's not a single inch of this creation that God doesn't say over that, that is mine. And as those who are caretakers of this planet, we are to do science. We so often want to relegate science to something that is the sphere of the secularist. No, it's not. This came through Christian universities. Science came about as a result of Christian thought. The philosophers, they thought that the universe was ministered by moody gods and was unknowable, but Christians came into that context and said, no, we can think God's thoughts after him because he's left his fingerprints on the universe. As far as radiometric dating is concerned, I mean, this is a major contention of young Earth creationists. It is, of course, that radiometric dating, or measuring radioactive decay, it's not reliable because the rate of nuclear decay was greater in the past than it is in the present. But that contention creates all kinds of problems. The nuclear radiation rate necessary to make sense of a 6,000-year-old universe would have been lethal to plant, animal, and human life. So there are all kinds of attendant problems with this from a young Earth creationist perspective. Again, I've written about all of that and so much more in the Creation Answer Book. Be right back with more answers.
To find out more about the materials mentioned on the show, call a CRI resource consultant toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Our website is also an excellent reference destination to help you. Just go to equip.org and find articles by Hank, books, CDs, and DVDs. Again, that's equip.org. Or write CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. The Bible Answer Man will continue in just a moment. With the new atheists increasing their mockery of Christianity and militant secularism ridiculing religious convictions of all stripes, we clearly don't need zealous but misguided Christians inviting further abuse by misreading and misrepresenting biblical prophecies. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will enable you to understand, remember, and communicate biblical prophecy. Moreover, your investment in Prophetic Stars through the Christian Research Institute will equip and encourage eager Christian brothers and sisters who genuinely yearn for truth and reliable tools to apprehend and defend their faith. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. However, his life and ministry were radically transformed by another three-word phrase, life matters more. Truth matters because Christianity is rooted in history and evidence. Life matters more because it is the experience of union with God. The goal of Christian life is union with God. All attempts to understand Christianity from a solely rational perspective put us in danger of devolving into a transactional rather than transformational relationship with God. Truth Matters, Life Matters More will equip you to move beyond intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing Him in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we'll go right back to the phone lines and talk to Deidre in Memphis, Tennessee. Hi.
Hi, Hank. My question is, out of all the millions and millions of people that's passed away before us, and our bodies are resurrected to new, perfect bodies, how will we all fit on this earth? Would that be in different dimensions?
Well, there are two different ways that I would answer that. The first is to say that we don't know exactly what the restored universe will be like. Just like a caterpillar doesn't know what it's going to be like when it goes through metamorphosis, it weaves its own casket, its constituent parts devolve into a mysterious molecular mixture, and out of that comes a being that is altogether different. So out of this universe can come a universe that is the same physically, but it's different organizationally, and we don't really, again, know precisely what that entails. We can only speculate. Furthermore, I'd answer it by saying that think about population in general. It took from creation to about the 19th century to reach the first billion. Since then, of course, there have been many more billions. But the problem is never the number of people. It's always a concentration of large numbers of people in small geographic areas. We could take the entire population of the world and put it comfortably into the state of Texas. But think about, for example, Egypt. 98% of the 60 million people in Egypt, they live in a few crowded cities located on the banks of the Nile River. And that only comprises about 3 to 4% of the entire Egyptian landmass. So the real issue is not that there's not enough space, it's crowding in very small geographic areas. So even if we took into consideration the full corpus of people, we'd have no problem in terms of overcrowding on planet Earth. This whole notion of the population bomb that people used to talk about is pure mythology. It's a literary hoax, as it were.
Okay. Thank you so much for answering my question.
You got it. Thanks, Deidre, for calling back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Tim. Tim is listening in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Hank. The question that I have is concerning prophecy and prophesying in today's world. Is it right to believe that somebody can prophesy that somebody's going to have a baby in 3 years, like a family that is struggling, they want a child, they go to somebody in a church, and this person professes that they're a prophet of God? Is this thing real today?
No, it's not. In fact, it's mean and it's hurtful. God, in his wisdom, keeps the future in his hand. He doesn't show us the future. Now, certainly there was a foretelling of the future that you find in the Word of God, but there's a purpose for that. The prophets demonstrated that they were mouthpieces of God such that they could be trusted because their prophecies came to be. The thing that you have with modern-day prophets, they have a track record. They're 100% wrong 100% of the time. They simply don't know what's going to happen in the future. And if they do get it right, it's good guessing, luck, or some kind of deceitful sleight of hand or sleight of mind. The kind of prophecy that the Bible talks about that is extant and relevant today is actually defined for us. You talk about 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll read over two chapters. When you get to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul then defines prophecy. He says it's for strengthening, encouraging, comforting people, and that everyone should weigh carefully what is being said by a prophet, because prophecy is for that encouragement and for that instruction. So the prophecy that he's talking about is not foretelling the future, but rather forthtelling, which is to say, taking what God has given us in his word, which has been founded, as it were, on the prophets and the apostles and now using that for edification and strengthening and encouraging and equipping and exhortation of the believer. So there's a big difference between what happened in the Bible and what is happening now that we have the Word of God. We now foretell rather than foretell, and that's precisely, again, what Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians 14.
Can you please explain the difference between foretelling and forthtelling?
Yeah. Foretelling is a way of saying that I am telling you what's going to happen in the future. So I'm going to tell you that 3 years from now you're going to have triplets, and 4 years from now you're going to be dead. That would be foretelling, and that's presumptuous, and I do not know that, and if I suggest I do know that, I'm not being truthful with you. God has hidden the future. And what God gives us is enough light to step into some more light. But God, in His mercy, gives us the grace we need when we need it, and oftentimes not a moment before. So that's the whole discussion surrounding foretelling. Forthtelling, it's a play on words, if you will, has to do with encouragement, exhortation, edification, equipping, strengthening. It's comforting people. It's instructing people. It's what's defined by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 14.
Thank you. I appreciate your work in God's kingdom.
Well, thank you, Tim. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Jeff in Memphis, Tennessee. Hi, Jeff.
Yes, Hank. I just had a question for you about the age of the earth that you were talking about. Because I've always thought that we have like a young, old earth. You know, the earth was created, and then Adam would have been placed on the earth. There would have been mature trees, animals, and Adam would have never been a baby. So he'd already been older than that earth. And then the stars that would have been created would have been in the different stages of stars, you know, from an early age star to a latter-day age star, etc. So we would have a young earth with an old age appearance.
Yeah, I mean, I think this creates a whole lot more in terms of conundrum than it solves in terms of problems. What good teacher would ask a student to put faith in a textbook that is intentionally filled with lies? And when you think about how Augustine thought about thinking God's thoughts after him as opposed to the way the philosophers were thinking, they were postulating all kinds of things which were dead wrong. The reason was they were basing their predilections on their own mythologies. But Augustine said, no, we can know about things in general revelation. We can know about the sun and the moon and the stars. God has placed his imprimatur on those planets, on those bodies, on the earth. We can start thinking his thoughts after him. Out of that comes science. That science comes because people believe that the textbook isn't full of lies. The textbook can be trusted. So, for example, you talk about this whole notion of stars and so forth. Well, the notion that God created his handiwork with the appearance of age, as opposed to apparent age, is logically unfalsifiable. In other words, you can neither prove nor can you disprove it. For example, how could you prove false the notion that you were created 5 seconds ago and that your recollection of our conversation just now is nothing more than an implanted memory? And I want to underscore that with an example I've used a number of times in the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but it's one to get in your head, because once you understand this, usually the light goes on. Think about this observable astronomical event, supernova. It was 1987A. That's its designation. It was an event with an identifiable before and an event with an identifiable after. Because prior to 1987, the supernova was a star in a distant galaxy 168,000 light years away. But then, on February 23, 1987, that star exploded and, as such, became a supernova. Now, in other words, 168,000 years ago, the star explodes, and then in 1987, the light of that event finally reaches Earth. unless you take the presupposition you began with in the question, unless God created the universe 6,000 years ago, then that supernova might well be likened to, well, a documentary film of an event which never really happened in the first place. And that is why I use that illustration of a textbook full of lies. We couldn't do science. Science would have never evolved, as it were, out of a Christian worldview without being able to trust general revelation to speak to us plainly, concretely, distinctly. Not only so, when you talk about Adam, I mean, yeah, the Bible doesn't answer this question about Adam. Was Adam created with the appearance of age? We don't know. Was Adam created with calluses on his feet? Did he have a belly button? Was he fashioned replete with childhood memories? I don't think so. But the bottom line is, the Bible simply doesn't tell us. Now, I've written about this in the Creation Answer book, which I've alluded to a number of times on the broadcast. That book can be found on the web at equip.org. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but we'll be right back here tomorrow with more answers to your questions. In the meantime, stand with us, won't you? Prayerfully and financially. See you tomorrow.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Endless predictions about end-time events and published timetables counting down the end have proven to be wrong 100% of the time. When doomsday predictions fail, there is double-duty damage. Many theologically juvenile and scripturally superficial Christians abandon the faith as a result of these failed predictions, and the public image of Christianity is damaged, making Christians appear to be hopelessly naive and easily duped biblical bumpkins. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will equip you not only to interpret biblical prophecy correctly, but to remember it as well. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org.